Ah, good. Welcome, everyone. Good and good morning. Some of you have come back from holiday. Think one pair come from Hokkaido, and one come from missions. Yeah, good. Good to be engaged in God's work. It's good to be able to relax and take time to do that. Now, I have two studies before a break, and after that I look on the Lord to see what to study. Most likely Timothy, and after that most likely I will stop. After 40 years it's time to stop. Alright, now today's study. Today's study, I'll let Dr. Luke introduce who we are going to study. And Dr. Luke, in chapter 12 of Acts, I'm going to read from verse 6 to 12. Chapter 12, verse 6 to 12. If you got your Bibles, you can open that there. If not, you just listen. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before near Peter, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Put on your belt and strap on your sandals." And he did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and yet he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10, "But now when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street. Immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, 'Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting.' And when he had realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying." Now guess who this person is? John Mark. We're going to study this young man, John Mark. You can see that this is John Mark is a young person. And we're going to follow his career. So let us pray before we begin. Gracious Lord, thank you for giving us once more a Sunday to study your word. Will you not speak to us again from your word as you have spoken to us every Sunday? Speak because we are listening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we find Peter going to Mary's home, which was a gathering place. We can, pardon the pun, we can gather from what we are reading here. Many small groups which have sprung up in Jerusalem because of the new movement called Christianity. We know that Mary must have been well-to-do for her home. Is relatively popular and very large to hold the, we are told, the many who are gathered there, especially those who are new Christians. And Peter went immediately to her home when this angel released him from prison. It means that She was close to the leaders of the church. Otherwise, where would he know where to go? He made a straight beeline for the home. So here's an important member of the local church. Now, what about young Mark? We are told Mark was inside the home. John Mark. Now, he must have heard the personal testimonies of the early apostles. And among them, the testimonies of James and John. We have read in John's Gospel the conversion of Simon and Andrew, and later on of James and John. And I'm sure that although the account in James and John about the conversion of their conversion in John's Gospel is very short, only two lines, I think we can imagine John Mark going around asking the apostles, how do you come to know the Lord? What happened? Who was this man Jesus? Because he was rather new to him as well as to everybody. He has just come up as a teacher and getting to be known as a Messiah. I'm sure he asked James and John, how do you meet this person? Tell us. And imagine the conversation to be something like this. One morning we were mending our nets, and it came along this stranger, a handsome stranger, very tall, and said, good morning. And we said, good morning. I think John must be the one who said that. And they talked for a while. They talked about the weather, about fishing, about the community in which they were living. And then this man, John said, then told them, leave your nets and come and follow me. So they must have stared at him. We stared at him. We couldn't believe, even as he walked away slowly, this is a bit outrageous as far as they were concerned. They were fishermen for a long, long time. The suggestion that they could leave their nets, well, why? I mean, they don't even know. All they knew is that they just said good morning and talk about the weather, and then you say, come and follow me. In fact, Mark's gospel is even shorter. They don't tell you all the good morning things. I'm just making that up. Then he said, leave the nets and follow me. And they said to Mark, John and I stared at one another and said, how long? What will we do for work? We follow this person. Our families depend on us. What will they do if we all go, if we go away? But he said, John said, but as Jesus walked away, there's something attractive about him. And we felt on our hearts later that we wanted to follow him. So we started to follow him. We said goodbye to our father Zebedee. Because they're the sons of Zebedee. We followed him and we stayed with him for one whole day. You know that this is recorded in John. Stayed with him and we have become his disciples. So, John, Mark, if you want to know the story, this is the story. So, these and other kinds of stories that young John Mark, who was a teenager by that time, must have absorbed not only from James and John, but also from Simon and Andrew. And so, I think this made a big impact on him. How could grown-up men be so attracted by one man to become his followers? So this is the beginning of his discipleship. But not only that, after he had known from the apostles their testimony, of this man, this remarkable man, Jesus. Then something else happened. He, as a teen, he knew about the life of Jesus after this, what he did, the miracles. And then there was one incident which is an important one in his life. And that is the one he himself recorded in his gospel, the Gospel of Mark, which I will turn to now. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 48 to 51. Okay, it's a personal account because this is Mark's gospel. This was in the garden. And we are told that Jesus was betrayed, and then this high priest came and arrested him. And then verse 48 says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Have you come out with sword and clubs to arrest me, as you would against a man inciting a revolt? Every day I was with you within the temple grounds teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has taken place so that the scriptures will be fulfilled.' And his disciples all fled, left him and fled." Now comes this key phrase. "A young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. But he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked." That is our friend Mark. Too shy to mention his name and too embarrassed by the fact that he was not as loyal as he wanted to be. This was when, by the time he wrote Mark, he was already an apostle. I mean, he was already a friend of the apostles and very more mature in his faith. So here we are, Mark telling us about his experience. And not only that, in the Garden of Gethsemane was this account given, but months after the resurrection, Mark is again mentioned in connection with a prayer meeting being held in his mother's home, as we had heard, and the Christians had gathered to pray for Peter's release. Again, we see Mark suddenly finding that Peter was coming to their home. Again, he was introduced to Peter. And then there's Barnabas, who was one of the leaders of the church. And he was there. And he became an associate of Paul. So, young Mark knew a lot of the apostles, spoke to them personally, and especially close to Barnabas, who was his cousin, and to the apostle Paul. So, as the persecution of the Christians grew, the Jewish leaders wanted to stamp out this new religion. And persecution really began to grow. And thousands were coming to Christ. And that is why Mark's mother's home was very involved with the disciples because they had prayer meetings in the home. Something important to remember about Mary, which I'm going to speak about more often. Now, let's come to something else about John Mark's life, his later life. I want to read later on from the book of Acts, again from the pen of Dr. Luke. So, it is because, most likely, as I said, because of the many people who gathered there in the home, and Mark's connection with his mother Mary and his cousin Barnabas, who's a respected leader in the church, this young church, Mark found himself being asked to accompany Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. So he joined the team and they went to Asia Minor. And we are going to read that now in Acts chapter 13, I think. Acts chapter 13. This is the first missionary journey. Acts 15. Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 2 to 13. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set Barnabas and Saul apart for me for the work to which I've called them. Then when they had fasted, prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews." They always do that, by the way. Always go to the Jews first. And they also had John as a helper. That is important. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God, but Elymas the magician, for so was his name, is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared at him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not stop making crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. You will be blind and you will not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him. He went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed, and he saw what had happened, and amazed at the teaching of the Lord. This is the first missionary journey. Now look at verse 13. "Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John left them." You see, John is already mentioned earlier, didn't he? In verse 5. John was mentioned there. Now we know that John is John Mark. John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Now, this is a thing about John that is one of the reasons why I brought him up to study. Because I don't know why John left the missionary party at this point in time. Perhaps he had expected something which he couldn't find in that first missionary journey. Maybe he thought there was something more grand than just that. Maybe more exciting than just that. Maybe he thought there was more adventure and he could saw more people and places. Maybe he found it a bit dull. So anyways, for some unknown reason, he left them and returns to Jerusalem. The rest of the party, as you read, verse 13, Paul and his companions then went on to Paphos and so on. Because this departure didn't stop Paul from going on. He was not a key member in the party, although he was, I'm sure, valuable to Paul and the others. But we learn that later on, Paul did not allow him to join the second missionary journey because of this initial failure. And we shall read about that in Acts 15. So let us look at Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 36 to 41. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit the brothers and sisters in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, see surname, you see, John called Mark, along with them also. But verse 38, but Paul was of the opinion that they should not take along with them this man who had deserted them. That's a strong word, isn't it? Were deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now it turned into such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left after being entrusted by the brothers by the grace of God. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So there you are. This is an unfortunate incident in the life of two elders of the church because of this young man, one supported by his cousin, the other who felt this is unreliable, I'm not going to have anything more to do with him. So heated was the disagreement, almost a quarrel. Now, Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, by the way, a good name. He lives up to his name, as you can see. He defends Mark against Paul's concerns, shall we say, rather than accusation, Paul's concerns about his usefulness. So when Barnabas and Paul can't reach an agreement, Barnabas chose Mark and then went to Cyprus instead. And Barnabas is a role model and somebody who's a disciplinarian, a discipler, so that in the years that in which he was with Mark, his cousin, Mark matures. And is again seen as a great helper. How do we know? Well, if you turn with me to 1 Timothy, to 2 Timothy rather, chapter 4, verse 9 to 11, I'm going to read that. 2 Timothy, of course, written by Paul. Verse 9 to 11, what do you read here? One of the final letters that Paul wrote. Make every effort to come to me soon. After Demas, having left this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take along Mark and bring him with me, with you, for he is useful for me for service. Now, isn't that interesting? There's a reconciliation between Paul and Timothy, who now must be in his 30s. Not only that, there's another time in Colossians chapter 4 verse 10. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 verse 10, what do we read here? This is a book with a big print. Unfortunately, the verses are in small print. So it just takes away the advantage. Have I got this correctly? Colossians chapter 4. I beg your pardon. I'm not reading the thing properly. Colossians 4:10. It's just one verse, but it tells you something, isn't it? Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin. Now that's how we know he's a cousin. Barnabas' cousin, Mark, about whom you receive instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him, and also Jesus, who is called Justus, and so on. So, in Colossians, this letter to the Colossians, the way Paul put it was, you saw that Barnabas, Timothy was helpful to Paul, the reconcile. Now here you see, Barnabas' cousin, about whom you receive instruction, if he comes to you, welcome him. So there is now a different attitude towards Mark, about whom you receive instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. So, I think as the years passed and Paul matured in his faith and became more, get to know more and less critical of young Mark, he began to be drawn close to him, which is good. He was very useful to Paul. Not only that, later on, Mark was useful to the Apostle Peter in Rome. And it is probably while Peter was in Rome and Mark was with him that Peter recounted to Mark what he knew about the Lord Jesus and his ministry, that Mark penned his gospel, because Mark's writings reflect Peter's mind, and he was quite close to Peter. Because Peter was familiar with Mark's family, remember? When Peter was going away to, was released from prison in that supernatural way, he went to John Mark's home, where John Mark's mother was. So he knew the family, and we know that because of this close relationship, his first letter from Rome, he calls Mark my son. 1 Peter 5:13. Let's look at that. First Peter 5:13. She who is in Babylon, that means Babylon is another code word for Rome. She who is in Babylon means the church in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. So close was Mark's relationship to Peter that he would call him affectionately my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. So, Mark has attained a certain seniority, a certain level of trust among the church, and certainly was very close to Peter to be called his son, and to be sent, his greetings were sent together with Peter. So that's a certain standard which he has attained, certain level of seniority within among the Christians. So that's very interesting indeed, following his career. So I hope you're following me on all this. As you follow his career, this young man, as he matures from a teenager, asking about apostles and how they became converted, now to become somebody who is respected among the church. And the great event in Mark's life is, of course, the Gospel of Mark. Among the four Gospels, there are four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark is one of them. You know, no small thing to be numbered among the Gospels, because we only got four, and Mark is one of them, written by a young man who listened to Peter and knew from Peter's own experience about the life of Christ. So you can see that Peter started poorly, but he finished well, and gives all of us who have stumbled along life's road, very rocky road sometimes, encouragement, how we can come from defeat to victory. Even though his introduction to Jesus, although as a young man following him around, was very embarrassing at the last part of the life of Jesus. He ran away. He did not even mention his name. He said, a young man. He was caught by the people. He ran away naked. He didn't even mention his name. So, this was not surprising, very, because of this incident. This was the first time he ran away. The second time he ran away was from the first missionary journey. He saw it running away. When he was faced with the pressure of the missionary journey, or for some reason, he just left. So the first time was when Jesus was arrested, that's in Mark 14. The second time was in, as we read in Acts 13. He went back to Jerusalem. So this seems to reveal to anybody who wants to read his life that Mark actually unfit for any significant Christian ministry. Wouldn't you conclude that? The first time was something very serious. The second time was perhaps you can excuse him for running away because he might be killed. But after all, the apostles also ran away. But the second time was on a serious missionary trip, and he ran away. So some people might think he was unfit. And that's why Paul thought so also, and refused to take him on the second journey. But the cousin, Barnabas, he saw something in worth redeeming in this young man and took Mark with him on the different missionary journey to Cyprus, and later he followed Peter, of course. And this encouragement from Barnabas, I'm sure, paid off in later years, because Mark is mentioned with Paul when the latter was in a Roman prison in Colossians, in chapter 4, verse 10, as we saw. I think I've read that to you. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner and all that, if he comes to you, welcome him. There's a change of heart on the part of Paul. And when Paul faced execution at the end of his second Roman imprisonment, he asked that Mark with Timothy should come to him, because, as we read, he was useful for his ministry. So what are the lessons we can learn from Mark? I think, first of all, we must always look for the good in people, even when they fall. Because when Mark left Paul and Barnabas, Paul refused to take Mark, but Barnabas stood by him and helped him to mature. So in time, because of this trust in him, I think Mark came to be a valued worker, not only to Barnabas, but also in Paul's eyes, because we have read the passages where Paul said he valued his ministry. And also later to Peter, because he followed Peter to Rome during his imprisonment. So Mark became a valued worker. But this kind of training of somebody who is discouraging and discouraged, you have to take the person under your wing. And you have to spend time and effort to help that person so that you can always encourage that person in his walk with the Lord. So when you treat somebody as important, you will find that they respond to your expectations. That's the first point. The second point, I think, is be willing to help young people. Because Mark was a young man. He was fortunate that one of his family members was an older man called Barnabas, and who never gave up on him, encouraged him, brought him along to maturity. So do you know of any young person or young people who need your support in times of difficulty? Maybe it's your son, maybe it's a daughter, maybe a niece, maybe a nephew, like Barnabas as a cousin. You should look first at your own family before you look outside your family. Then you consider the young people in your church. If you don't help people in your family, you help people in the church. You're the balik, not nice. Of course, people in your family tend to be more difficult to help because they say, I know you too well. Isn't it? But anyway, you must persevere. And if your witness is good, then you should persevere in that. Because they are the next generation of believers who are going to carry on the work after you. Maybe God is asking you to encourage another Mark Who knows? So, the second lesson is that, the third lesson I would say, is that failure is not the end. It's just an opportunity for a new beginning. Because many have got an experience, a mark-like experience, alright? Something like mark, falling down, one, not only once, but twice. And who knows, other times not recorded here. At the beginning of a Christian life, and yet have gone on to make significant contribution to the church because of encouragement. As far as we are concerned, as far as you are concerned, have you experienced a failure in your Christian life? So you learn from your mistake. You ask for forgiveness, if that's what is needed, of course, and don't allow defeat to keep you from serving. Ask God to give you courage to get up and keep going. It's not how well you start, it's how well you finish. That's the important thing. And the events have proven that Barnabas' assessment of Mark, his cousin, was correct. He didn't look at the failure. He knew something more than that. So be a Barnabas. Even the Apostle Paul later, as we see, asked Mark to be sent to him in prison. Because we read in 2 Timothy, let me read this. I haven't read this to you yet. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having left his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take along Mark and bring him with you, for it's useful to me for service. Imagine that, the great apostle now saying that Mark is useful to him. And once he told him, I don't want to have him in my second missionary journey. Now he said, he's useful to me now. How Mark has matured, and how Paul has changed. Even Paul can be wrong, you know. Paul is not omniscient. Of course, tradition tells us that John Mark later traveled with Peter and wrote Gospel as he traveled with him, and so he was also Peter's trusted friend. I find it just to speculate how Mary's feelings must be about her son. He was so promising in his earlier years when, as a teen, as I told you just now, he asked about the apostle, hey, how did you come to know Jesus? Huh? Tell me. And he was at all the meetings, including the prayer meetings, and people asked to pray, John Mark will be stand up and pray. Not afraid to pray. Wide-eyed and very keen. And how disappointed Mary was, the mother, when later he heard about John Mark, she heard about John Mark on his first missionary journey when he deserted his missionary companions and came home. Well, how would you feel as a mother? And you see a young son who was so promising, suddenly being told, oh, Mark came off, you know, he left the missionary group and returning back. Why? She wanted to know. And Mark first came back. I don't know what she told the mother. And how Paul was made such a devastating assessment of him after quarreling with Barnabas. I don't want him. He cannot be trusted. All this must have hurt her. So we need to look at Mary. Because Mary played a large part in the life of her son. She was one who encouraged him with the church in the home. The prayer meetings that were held there. It was at the prayer meeting that Peter ran to when he was released from prison. You remember Rhoda and all that, opening the doors and wondering who, whether it was Peter or an angel of Peter, that you read for yourself. And Mary, the mother, chose to become totally involved in the Christian community, open a home to worship, encourage Mark to join older men. Didn't think of him, yeah, young man, stay out of this. A young man was there, sitting there, absorbing, learning, praying, and that's how she became keen. That's one thing for mothers to think about. Never too young for young men to be among older Christians to learn from them. Somebody who's fully dedicated to the Lord, that was Mary. I think Mary must have been very thrilled when Barnabas showed himself willing to give the son a second chance and took him on a journey, his missionary journey, making a doorway for him to minister, which was, of course, a lasting significance in the life of the church, because he wrote his gospel, and he was useful to Peter. And Mary's joy reminds us that we should never give up on wayward children. It's God, because God doesn't. And the mother did not give up on her son Mark, in spite of the fact that he left Paul, who was at that time a very important person, and she must have been proud that Paul took him along and must have been disappointed. So in closing about John Mark, I just want to make these remarks about Mary, that hospitality is a spiritual gift to exercise. Because the welcome that Mary gave to the fellow believers enriched her life, and that also of her son, because he grew up in an atmosphere of Christianity being practiced daily. And that helped that John Mark in his early years. Alright, we'll stop there. It's a short study. Look at those verses that I've given to you again and learn from them. This is a man who has been given a second chance and worth thinking about, because we all do need second chances sometimes. Maybe even a third chance. So let us pray before we go. Gracious Lord, we thank you for what we have learned this day from the life of your servant Mark, the writer of that gospel, the second gospel. How gracious are you to him to have brought him into the company of Barnabas and then to be reconciled again to Paul and to teach this young man to become the mature Christian that he later turned out to be. As we look at him and we look at Mary, the home in which he was brought up, we marvel at your grace and your provision for your people. We look at our own homes, our lives, the people in our lives, the people who influence us, and the people to whom we influence, that we may all together mature and grow up being useful and pleasing to you in our witness as well as our Christian living. So use us, Lord, as you did Paul, Barnabas, Mark, Mark's mother, and all the others who are in that little church in their home that gave rise to all that we've been talking to today. So bind these lessons to our heart, we pray, as we depart from one another, look after us for the week ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.